Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I know it was long, I know it was epic, but I do think we've seen the best Batman movie of all time.
We have both watched The Batman.
We're just talking about The Batman. Luke hasn't seen it yet. It came out a year ago on like the... I watched it before last year's Revolution.
I know. Well, my brother went to go see it for his birthday. It was my brother's birthday yesterday, which is also what made me think about it. But I finally saw it. And it is the best Batman movie I've ever seen in my life.
Let's lock that in. That's three words agreed.
Yep. I've only got two complaints about the movie. And that is, I don't think it's just the worst Riddler design that's ever been committed to comic or movie or TV. I think it's the worst comic book adaptation design in the history of cinema.
Ooh.
I think it is. They should be ashamed of themselves because they looked at the Riddler and was like, Viscera. That's our inspiration here. Put him in bin bags.
And it'd be known that Luke Owen is a Jared Leto Joker apologist. You heard it here first.
Deranged.
They're always, all these DC comic book villains, you're always like, no, that's the worst costume I've ever seen.
Well, it's because they keep topping themselves. Every time they do one, it's like, how can we make that one worse than the one we did previously?
Yeah. Well, James Gunn's in charge now, but that's not really what we're here to talk about, of course. We're here to talk about another very long thing.
Giggity.
That's just as good as the Batman.
Allos. Hello, sailor.
It's MJF versus Bryan Danielson in an Iron Man match. Welcome to the AEW Revolution 2023 review on the WrestleTalk podcast channel. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Lugo and DAD. If you haven't already, press the subscribe button. Give us a thummy up and leave a comment down below with what you thought of this show and send in your Omega chats to WrestleTalk.com/support. And thank you to our wonderful sponsors, Geology.
Indeed, we are all, well, certainly in this studio here.
Oh my God, my face is so soft.
We're just innocent men. We're just normal men. And like normal, innocent men, we try to take care of ourselves, make sure that we look as good as we possibly can do. But I'm also a bit of a thicko.
Oh yeah.
And I'm rubbish at it. I can't do it. And this is where Geology comes in, because Geology, all you got to do is just take a very short quiz. You just click our link in the video description down below. Take your quiz, and it will curate a skincare routine for you.
Am I doing it right?
I think so. I will quickly double check the instructions, though. You and I are both fans of The Apprentice.
And big fans.
The most recent episode was Men's Skincare. You see?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no green goop in any of these ones. Actually, I can't use the word goop because that would imply consistency.
How am I going to start my skin journey?
Start your skincare with Geology. Click the link in the video description down below. There are over 6,000 five-star reviews for Geology. People love this product. And if you use our code WRESTLE70, you will get 70% off.
70%?
And not only that, but wait, there's more. Listen to this. Geology are giving away exclusive bonuses. Ooh. 50% off additional skin, hair, and body products of your choice when you add it to your trial.
Yes, please.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is one of their best offers they've ever done. So there's a link in our video description down below, or there's a QR code, because we're the future. We have QR codes on screen.
Point at it like the WrestleMania sign. I'm Ronda Rousey at the end of that Royal Rumble. Which one was it? I can't remember.
2018.
Another Survival Series.
Yeah, 2018.
You lucky wrestling fans being over-delivered on things this weekend.
Yep.
Transition back into Max versus Bryan Danielson. Now, we are not going to be able to cover everything that was awesome in this match.
Nope.
You have to go and watch it. It is one of the best matches in company history. What I mean, is it? It's definitely in contention for best match of the year.
Oh, easily so. Yeah, absolutely.
I guess the only other contender right now is Omega versus Ospreay and that Rocky Romero match from Mexico that everyone's raving about.
Well, that and Team TNA versus the Acclaim for the
tag titles.
Of course.
It's a no-brainer. But this was 67 minutes because they were three apiece by the time the timer ran out.
So good.
And then there was a restart after chance of Bull S-word.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a work. Tony, everybody knew.
Tony sat there backstage chuckling to himself. Just you wait.
I'll give you a huge announcement.
I'll send Tony Schiavone down for this. Tony Schiavone as well, taking out his head, have been like, oh, I can't wait for this.
Yeah. Why hasn't anyone got a direct line to Justin Roberts?
Because that's what Tony's there for. Tony is the direct line.
He's the messenger.
Yeah. So Tony goes down there and he tells the Yapper Dapper that this match is going to go into sudden death. And what a tense. I mean, it was already quite a tense, like, final 10 minutes regardless.
Well, do you know it's because Tony Khan watched Survival Series on Friday with the Intercontinental Champions?
Oh, so
and that tense Pete versus Adam sudden death.
So the actual plan was just for there to be a winner at the end of the 60 minutes, but then he saw how good of content we make and was like, now there's an idea.
Eddie Kingston, who's on great talking terms with everyone, said, hey, Tony, watch this video.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, let's mimic this.
And it worked. Mm. Absolutely worked, because it went into overtime and there was an amazing moment during this overtime. I'm just going to get my notes up here because this is just, Tony Khan won't. I love that Tony Khan was the baby face in all of this. Tony Khan will not allow this match to end in a draw. Ray, we
I
love
still booed.
Tony. Still booed. MJF cannot believe it. Low blow immediately by MJF for a near fall. But the bit that I absolutely loved was MJF with the title belts. Going to hit, like, he'd set up because he'd already kicked out of the ring, so he went to go and hit him with the belt. Bryce Remsburg catches him with the belt and then says, I'd be my guest because I'll DQ you and the fall will go to Danielson. And then MJF is like, oh no, now what do I do?
This, I mean, that literally every 5 minute period. We could do a whole hour long bit on.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's how layered and how many moments there are. My favorite bit in this was Danielson, a few moments after that, because MJF also tried to cheat with the diamond ring. Danielson blocks that because I was like, oh no, don't end it like that now. Great counter. Danielson gets him into, I think it was the heel hook actually. Whatever it was a submission. And MJF is just trying to get to the ropes, trying to get there. And he gets on the ropes. He holds the rope. And immediately taps.
Yes.
Because it was
a single leg.
It was a single leg. And Danielson, throughout the whole hour preceding it, had been doing his old, I've got till five. I'm not going to break this hold. I've got till five. Max knows he's not going to let go for another 5 seconds. So to then immediately tap, just such good storytelling.
Because what I loved about that is A, it made Danielson let go. Danielson thought he'd won the match.
Yes.
Because Danielson then started to celebrate because he hadn't seen that Max had got the ropes. Then Remsburg is telling you, no, you haven't won. And that Max has stood to the outside, got the oxygen tank that he was being given after the match. So
it's hard to structure this because I'm too excited.
Because I'm too excited to talk about the other things.
And
I love
Colin
about
Farrell as the Penguin was unrecognizable.
But he hits him with the oxygen tank for a superb, like, oh no, not this way. And then he locks in the lapel lock. And you're like, oh, it's the lapel lock. That's Danielson's finisher. They do the arm gimmick. One, two. Oh, and I was like, because they'd already set that as a precedent earlier in the evening with Samoa Joe. So I thought that was actually a really nice bit of pacing and producing in the show. And Danielson power up and you're like, baby Danielson is going to win this. We'd already had an amazing near fall off the knee plus in this sudden death period. And then he just fades again and he taps.
Doesn't even pass out. He taps. That is such a great finish on a night of fantastically booked decisive finishes.
So my absolute favorite thing about this match, and the thing I thought they told to perfection in this, was that Danielson was ready for the hour. And the MJF, like, it's kind of, it was reminding me of the Judgment Day 2000 Iron Man match, where King, you know, not a great commentator by any stretch of the imagination, but was very good at pointing out, this is now the longest The Rock has been in a match. This is the longest he's ever wrestled before. What conditioning has he got here? And Excalibur was doing that with MJF. He literally counted down the seconds to be like, this is now officially the longest match Max has ever been in. And Max was constantly going to the outside, rehydrating, like pouring water up himself, and like, oh, God, this is going on for a while. At the end of this match, Danielson's standing up. Danielson's ready to go. Max is being given oxygen.
Yeah.
He lasted the hour, which everyone thought he wouldn't be able to do. But Danielson, it's that Hangman Page thing all over again. I'm ready to go. I can go again. You ready to go again? But Page is sort of like, you know, a bit unsteady on his feet. Max was out. Max was done. And the story's end, they had a moment during this where Max was really like groggy on his feet. Danielson was just having fun with him.
Yeah, that was the last 3 minutes. There was a really effective bit where the timer just turns to red for the last 3 minutes. So I was like, oh no! But yeah, there was a yay boo exchange in strikes, and then they sort of both just collapse on each other. And the camera shows Max's face, and he's like, oh no, I can't do this anymore. And then it shows Danielson's face, and he's smiling.
Yeah, that was amazing. Oh. So good in this. Like, this is about the halfway point of the match. Danielson has MJF in a figure four, and Max is like screaming in pain, but he sits up and he's screaming in Danielson's face and slapping him in the face, and Danielson's smiling and enjoying himself and all of this. And then MJF goes to his back and he's trying to reverse the pressure, and Danielson just goes, oh, Max, I'll help you out here. And he rolls over for him because he can just roll over again straight back into the figure four. It was so good. He was schooling him.
Yeah.
Because Danielson like almost was not affected by the time in this.
With the water spot, I thought they were building to something. Because when I...
To throw it on a kid.
Well, no, it's not tequila. You throw tequila on a kid.
Sorry, my mistake.
It's wildly inappropriate. Apparently, there were HBK chants at some points because, of course, Shawn trained Danielson. There were a few spots that paid homage to Shawn Michaels.
Skinny and the Cat. And MJF even did the pose.
Apparently, so there was an HBK chant. Later on with the water, there was an H2O chant.
I heard that.
So when I think of water and hydration and wrestling, I think back to that run of New Japan matches from 2017 to 2019, when they were starting to wrestle for hours at a time. And it became quite dangerous because Shibata hurt his head. It wasn't so much the headbutt, it was that he was dehydrated when he made that headbutt. And that's what gave him a cerebral hematoma, whatever that thing was. And it ended his career. Well, in New Japan, at least, but he will wrestle at any chance he gets.
Yeah, but you know, it's like a lot of... That ended Edge's career. Yeah. That ended Bryan Danielson's career.
Dot, dot, dot,
until they came back.
So as soon as I saw the water coming out and how Max was hydrating and Danielson wasn't, I thought they were going to go down the route of working over Danielson's head, playing into the concussions, because that was a huge part of the promo from a couple of weeks ago. And then Max hit this sick-looking... move called a muscle bomb is what or it's similar to the made in Japan or something.
Yeah.
But apparently it's called a muscle bomb, that variation at least. But it was just like Danielson was driven down onto the back of his head.
We want to talk about great commentary. Taz in that moment. And like, obviously we don't see this, but Taz sounds genuinely concerned because he was like, I've landed on the back of my head like that. And I can tell you from experience, it's not good. And he's like, look, watching this angle here. He also, him and Excalibur had like a thing because he like grabbed Excalibur when it happened.
Yeah.
And Taz was almost like, oh, I'm sorry I grabbed you. I just got really worried then. And Excalibur's like, you don't need to apologize. Like that's the passion that we have here. It was felt like a genuine moment of commentary of a wrestler watching another wrestler do a move similar to the sort of, you know, injury that he'd suffered in the past and be like, that's so dangerous. Mm. Like, that's really scary to watch. And it really puts over the drama of this match, because they were both completely fine and completely safe in what they were doing. But they're just putting over the drama and the intensity of the match.
But they didn't actually work over Danielson's head. Even though there was a sort of second rope tombstone, there was a running tombstone into some table debris.
So great.
I hope Undertaker's pissed off. I want Max to troll Undertaker.
Yeah, I mean... He's not.
He is.
What? Undertaker. What, watching?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's always... you'd see him tweet over the weekend.
Oh, well, when he was laughing at the no one... Well, no, he was laughing at no one was watching this show.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't.
But, I thought they were going a head direction, but no, the actual story for much longer has been Danielson's shoulder, his arm, Max paying people to take it out, and sort of Max was selling his knee really effectively off those moves that he was doing. I thought we were building to a Salt of the Earth armbar finish. So for Danielson to tap and his own label lock at the end, the storytelling is amazing.
That was the key to it, right? Because we, all in this build-up, we were liking, Salt of the Earth, Salt of the Earth, Salt of the Earth, to end it with the label lock. I mean, it's great for Danielson. That puts over his finish. Yeah. It kind of protects him as well. Massively protects his finish. Puts over MJF as this strategic mastermind, because he had multiple ways that he had to beat him then. He had done it with the Salt of the Earth, but he added insult to injury by doing it with the label lock. And Danielson tapping out to it as well. Not only did MJF survive the hour with Danielson, he ended up outlasting Danielson.
Did he? I guess he cheated. So the way the falls went, Danielson got the first fall, then Max DQ'd himself.
Low blowed him to get a DQ.
Which I love. I love that sort of thing in two out of three falls or these matches. Really strategic. And Max immediately got two pins off the back of that.
Yeah.
Because there were no breaks like you get in a two out of three falls. It was straight into the next fall.
What I loved about that was that's just resetting everything. Mm-hmm. Like in Max's mind, we're now nil-nil again. I've completely nullified the one pinfall you've gotten over me in a very quick succession. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And I loved later on when it was 3-3. It was at 3-2, Max was leading. He tapped out to one of Danielson's submissions.
Well, it was the Regal Stretch.
The Regal Stretch, absolutely. It was tapping out to the Regal Stretch.
Remember him?
And he tapped out like almost immediately as a way to break the hold. And he could afford to do that because it was just tying things up. Mm-hmm. But then Danielson got him in the move again. He was like, well, now I can't. I literally at this point now cannot afford to tap out, because otherwise that's when I'm at a loss. I'm at a deficit then. And that was just amazing little moments of that. But you could tell, you can see their strategic plans and the moves that they were making throughout the match.
So Max, apart from that DQ, which I kind of am going to let slide because he was immediately punished with that, did he cheat in the hour?
He hit him with the oxygen tank.
But that was in the overtime.
That was in the overtime. I think that might have been the only form of actual cheating in the full hour.
Yeah, so the story was, you know, you can't go an hour with me.
Yeah.
And he did.
He did.
And then Max cheated in the final 7 minutes.
The other thing I wanted to make mention as well about how... Oh, yeah, also, I liked how Max has definitely been watching his Zack Sabre Jr. tapes. You see him stretching out Danielson.
Oh, my God. The opening 5 minutes of this was just this excellent mat wrestling exchange with different submissions. The crowd just, like, got to their feet.
Well, that's the point I was going to make, was the crowd. You know, I've been making a few comments on, like, I think I even said on the predictions video, I was very interested to see how the crowd was going to react. And I thought what they might do is start off hot and then we'll dip down a little bit, probably dip down for quite a lot of the match while they just are, you know, because it's an hour long.
Yeah.
When you start knowing a match is going to be an hour long, you don't want to burn yourself out as a fan watching this. But these two put on a masterclass of an hour-long wrestling match that kept this crowd always at a fever pitch. And then when they won, they were really on their feet applauding multiple times throughout this. There was no lull period in this. There was no, let's kill 5 minutes here, let's do some rest holes, let's just, you know, take a breather or anything like that. Now, these two went at it for the entire hour.
They did have rest moments, but even that was engaging. It was mostly Max walking around the ring, jaw-jacking
character
fans.
Work.
It's character work. And I love that. Like, that old school Randy Savage would just spend half the match yelling at fans before he got into the ring.
Yeah.
And of course, the noteworthy bit is he went into the crowd 10 minutes in, took a lady's drink, and just chucked that drink all over a kid. Apparently, reportedly, allegedly, that drink wasn't water. It was tequila. In which case, dear God, you had a... Well, like a pint glass of tequila?
Yeah, so there are some conflicting stories. Some people have said it was tequila. Other people have said it was vodka. Either way, someone was drinking a spirit neat. Unless, of course, it was a vodka tonic.
Uh-huh.
In which case, it still looks clear.
It's going to sting the eyes.
Well, it is. I mean,
it's also going to sterilize you.
You're throwing a spirit over a child. Obviously, Max did not know that it was. He just saw a clear liquid and was just like,
yep, vodka.
But yet, apparently, by all accounts, according to Sean Ross app, not a plant, and the kid was very upset by what happened, consoled by a lot of wrestling fans. Will Washington of Grapsody went to the concession stand and bought him an acclaimed foam finger to try and cheer him up. There were other fans around ringside that were giving him their merch that they'd either bought or had to try and like just cheer the kid up because he had his night somewhat ruined by Max throwing vodka on him.
Do you think there's also an unspoken fan thing of let's not get this cancelled because we really like this match. Yeah. Hey kid,
it's good though, right? It's still good though, right? Amanda Huber was also there. Yep. She was at ringside with him. He was taken backstage, given free tickets to the Sacramento show that's this coming Wednesday and stuff. Tony Khan in the media scrum. My news episode goes out later, and I kind of talk about how. With MJF and Tony Khan doing a media scrum together, I think there is a fine line between work, shoot, jabroni marks. You know, because like he's like, I had to have a very serious conversation with him because that's not befitting of a champion. Mm. And it's that when it's like not befitting of a champion. I'm like, well, that sounds like we're in a work scenario here because you brought Max back as a last resort. And it was through your last resort that he became champion. Mm. And now you're stuck with him as champion. And so I was like, well, maybe there's just some character work in here. But by all accounts, the kid legit shoot was upset about having tequila / vodka thrown on him.
It was a shoot kid. It was a shoot drink. I loved MJF's explanation for this. In the press conference, he said, oh, the kid looked thirsty.
And then he was just like, I hope he's okay. You know, he's a real trooper, that kid.
Obviously, you cannot go around chucking alcoholic children.
No.
That's not a cool thing to do.
It's bad.
However, there is a part of me that often feels nostalgic for that time in wrestling heat that we never got to live through when wrestlers and Dutch Mantel would go to Puerto Rico and fans would be like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to stab you with a knife.
I don't think we should use Puerto Rico as the great
example
of this.
Exactly. I don't want that for anyone. But... it did happen in the past, and there is an element of badassery around it.
What I want is the period of time when the older wrestlers of World of Sport would yell at grannies at ringside while they're knitting.
Yes.
That's the sort of heel heat that we're looking for.
So I think this was obviously a mistake. He wouldn't have done it if he knew it was alcohol. That's probably like that's the bad bit in this. And that seems to have been a mistake. But I am all for throwing drinks over fans. I think it is great.
I like
He's been doing it on Dynamite for weeks now.
I like it when wrestlers tear up fan signs.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
Yeah. I got shoved by a wrestler once and it was the best day of my life. I was in the front row of a progress show and rather than ask me to kindly move out the way, he went, boof, and he pushed me on the chair and I nearly went back and I went, yes, this is progress.
But outside, you know, this match I thought was sensational.
Yep, five stars.
Five stars.
Five stars.
For me, quite easily. Although Max did say at one point, because he kept leaving out the ring, said, and this is a quote, does that lose me a star, Dave?
Oh, I'm not going to win the Bryan Danielson Award this year. So funny.
Awesome. I just thought the story they told in this, I thought that Daniel... So earlier in the show, during the Elite House of Black match, I was watching Kenny Omega wrestle and I thought, he is the best wrestler on the planet. Like, he just is the best wrestler on the planet. And then Bryan Danielson came out and I was like, oh, no way. No, I think he's the best wrestler on the planet. Next week, I'm going to watch a Will Ospreay match. I'm like, I think he is the best. No, I'm pretty sure actually he is the best wrestler on the planet.
It is remarkable. Like, I did not find... This is a... I say this with all kindness. I found this match predictable in the terms of who was going to win.
Yes.
And I didn't really genuinely buy an earfall until 65 minutes in with that knee.
The knee plus.
The running knee after the extra time. But that's not to say that Danielson didn't make me want him to win.
Yeah.
And that's his superpower, that he can get you on board with a match and really make you invest in his journey while making the other guy look just $100 million. But, Matt, I mean, like, I like character arguably more than I do the in-ring work. Mm-hmm. I love both, obviously, but if I was to pick one, I'd have great characters and normal matches over no characters and all the crazy stunts. See the trios. And I feel like when we talk about these best wrestlers on the planet, I know you've got the technical ability side of Ospreay, Omega, Danielson, but I'm starting to think MJF is the best wrestler when you take character, promo ability, and in-ring talent.
Because the great thing about MJF, and we talked about this in the Takeshita match, he can do all of the same stuff that Omega, Danielson, and Ospreay do. He chooses not to do it because it's better for his character to not do it. And in a way, that does make him the best wrestler on the planet. It's incredible. Like, maybe he's right in his post-match scrum. He is the best in the world.
Ooh.
In that ring, on this microphone, even at a goddamn press conference.
Heard that before.
This was absolutely sensational stuff. And I loved it. And I cannot wait to watch it again. The question that we posed to the title of this podcast, though, is this the best Iron Man match ever? Because when I went online, that was the instant reaction to it. There's always going to be a case of recency bias because you've literally just finished it and it's so, so good. But is it the best 16-minute Iron Man match ever?
So obviously you're a big fan of Bret Shawn.
Oh, yeah, Iron Man quite match. Quite you famous. Quite famously. I think that is an incredibly boring match.
But if you take that out of the conversation, what are we talking? We got Shawn Cena, that Iron Man match.
Yeah. I think there's been quite a few. There was a 30-minute
Iron Woman match.
Orton had one. I think
I'm not
going to
choose that one. I'm immediately going to discount that.
I have heard it's better than you'd think.
Well, I've probably watched it. Ciampa and Gargano.
Ciampa and Gargano. Actually, that's a really good one.
Did they have
one.
An Iron Man match?
No. They didn't have an Iron Man match.
Well, no, I was just asking.
Oh,
if
right.
If they did,
I don't think
one.
They did.
Omega and Okada was just 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah, it was with a 60 minutes time limit. Oh no, there was no time limit.
That was
limit,
a different
was
one that went 60 minutes.
Yeah, because that one is really good, but it's not an Iron Man match. I think if you're going to talk about like the Bailey Banks one at Respect, which was 30, but even so, it's just like talk
I think
about
this
like
was better.
Talk about pure emotion. See what it's not even in the top five. Brock and Kurt had one.
Let's check in with the YouTube comments. We're calling it the best match of all time. It's a piece of crap.
Brock and Kurt is definitely a good one. AJ and Daniels, which is one I referenced.
Oh, was that on TNA?
Yeah, I referenced it in my... that was a 30-minute one for the extra title. I referenced it in my PFK list that went out last week. But that is an awesome, awesome match. Again, that's going into the overtime.
Oh, we've watched that.
We have.
Yeah,
No. We watched the follow-up to it. That 30-minute was part of the video package for the sequel.
Oh, okay.
And we reviewed the sequel.
Well, the sequel's great as well.
The sequel was great, yeah.
But yeah, in terms of an hour-long Iron Man match, I can't think of anything better if you discount Bret Shawn,
of course, and Rock Triple H at Judgment Day, which is got a really stupid finish that just puts the belt back on Hunter.
Just the
way he likes it.
Just a few other notes. Max bled an absolute gusher.
God, didn't he just?
He is also the best gusher in the business now.
Well, yeah, he saw Hangman and Mox and was like, amateurs.
Well, Mox gets kind of like a trickly blood. Goes everywhere, but it is a trickly blood. Max is just like a sheet of blood.
And
it makes his eyes look really big.
Because we were going through the official press photos for this, and he is such an expressive wrestler. And because he then had a crimson mask, it made his eyes look even whiter than they are normally. They're so big.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so wild. I wish we could use them on thumbnails, but YouTube would immediately be like, nope.
Max, you are a YouTube thumbnail dream.
Yeah, just
keep on doing you.
But with less blood, if you possibly can, because it makes our lives... It means we can actually use them on thumbnails.
I'd also like to mention the MJF's entrance. Came out with a little orchestra, which started with a bit of a jaunty piano, I believe. And I thought, this is the start of Bugsy Malone's I could have been anything that I wanted to be.
I'm sure that's what Max was going for.
But that's a great song for him. But it was actually just a thematic version of his entrance theme.
One other note from this, Danielson, please stop doing the diving headbutt.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah, stop doing that.
But yeah, overall, an extraordinary match. We've spoken about it for half the length of the actual match.
Yeah, but some of that was also Batman chat.
Can happily talk about it for longer. I loved it. Great, great end. And for once, I end an AEW pay-per-view feeling energized as opposed to fatigued.
I thought this was a perfect end to what I think is arguably AEW's most perfect pay-per-view that they've ever done.
All Out 2021, surely.
Because, but again...
Like Suzuki, Cole,
but that's, Punk. That's, but that's like just, you know, that's surprises and surprisements and things like that. But this was like, no, wall to wall, every single match delivered in a very, very good time frame. And it didn't... And aside from the FTR return, it was... And the heel turn, I guess. It is just... No, this is just excellent wrestlers doing excellent wrestling and telling excellent stories.
Yeah, every match was fantastic. For me, best pay-per-view is like quite far away All Out 2021.
Didn't say it was the best. So it was the most perfect.
But in terms of match order, match structure, the way everything flowed into each other, it is almost unparalleled. You know what it was missing, though? A 40-minute angle at the end. And that's the only thing I would add.
Now, do you know what this was missing? A 3-minute Jade Cargill match. That really would have just been a little cherry on top.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, please do get in your thoughts. Omega chats, wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5. First up from Benjamin John Mill. MJF lasted the 60 minutes fairly, and Tony Khan decided to change the match decision. Authority trying to screw the champ, and the champ took matters into his own hands. Shades of Punk and Danielson versus the Authority. Can't wait for MJF promo on Dynamite.
If he's on Dynamite, might not be.
I think keep him off. But do a pre-tape.
You
need some presence.
Exactly, yeah. You could do a Danielson interview that's a pre-tape thing, but I don't know if you will see MJF or Danielson on the show.
James Zimmerman. Well, hot diggity dog, that was the best pay-per-view since All Out 2021. Hangman Mox was great. Love the Cage Jack match. Really everything on the show. MJF versus Bryan was all-time great. Best Iron Man match ever. It was a really fun show that kept a great pace. 187%, or 5 out of 5.
Dig diggity, dig diggity dog. I like what a lot of James said there.
Meng. Remember Revolution 2022? The formation of the Blackpool Combat Club? Just a year later, Mox and Danielson tapped out to two of AEW's top homegrown talents. It's nice that they are used to pushing young guys, but what a missed opportunity it was. We were so hyped.
We were pretty hyped. I think
interesting
that
it's
both like a positive and a negative. Because it's right, like using these established stars to put over younger guys, I think is exactly the point of the Blackpool Combat Club. It was all about raising up younger talent. But I agree with Meng as well. Like it was a group that we were so, so excited for. And I don't think we ever got the fullest version of what you could have had with BCC.
We got it for a couple of weeks with the Utah integration.
Yeah, I'd say that's about it.
Claudio joined.
Also, you're saying that Danielson getting a concussion, that's the fault of the group.
The what? Danielson
getting a concussion, because that's what brought Claudio in.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it kind of is. Yeah, derailed them. I don't disagree with beating both Blackpool Combat Club guys. I think that's a great thing to do here, the way they tapped out as well. But, yeah. It would be even more impactful if we had a year tear for the whole faction.
100%.
Power Packers 90, Memberg 4, 18 months. That Iron Man match. Match of the year so far with both companies, in my opinion. Great storytelling, putting both guys over. I love wrestling. Jam that jam for life. Actually, it's my match of the year.
Yeah, it's mine. So easily mine.
Because I didn't think Omega Osprey was 5 stars. You know when you finish and you're like, oh, I loved it. It was fantastic, but it's not 5 stars for me.
Yeah.
This one immediately, I was like, this is 5 stars.
Yeah, it's easily a 5-star match.
Meze Kurosaki. Mizzy here. I actually was at Revolution last night. Oh, damn, I'm jealous. It was first wrestling and had a ton of fun, beers with random folks. To get to see that main event live last night was a dream come true. By any chance, did you guys hear the Ice Cream Man chants?
I did not.
I bet there were loads of fun chants there. Banama Whammer 7. AEW should have a minimal HUD graphic like the UFC showing the competitors' names and a time clock. It'll help with timed matches like the main event. You can add a little character stuff like giving the wrestlers custom nameplates and having a more sports vibe.
That is an interesting observation because that's kind of been a problem with when they do the time limit draws. Like every match has a time limit, but you can always see the draws coming when they announce there's going to be this. I always remember the Pac Osprey match at Rev Pro when all of a sudden they announced 10 minutes remain and the crowd were like, oh, okay, well, let's see where this is going then.
Well, you've got to normalize draws more because that was a time when draws were not a thing, but I feel like we're getting more used to them. I thought the way they did it here was perfectly. Not on screen all the time, but at certain moments they'll bring it up. I always knew what time we were at. I thought it was very well produced. Our reviewer random. Hi guys, Revolution was amazing. To me, the TNT women's matches were pretty good. I really enjoyed it. I have a question for you guys to discuss. Why do we feel happy and satisfied with MJF's way of cheating and pissed by Roman? Jam that jam from Chile.
Well, that's a fun... Because I've never been bothered by Roman's cheating. We posed the question on the last one, the Roman template of the Uso interference being... a lot of people are massively turned off by it. And I guess it's because we're now like 2 years into Uso interference, lol, Roman wins. But I've also been, I've never had like a, oh God, this finish again. I haven't had that with Roman.
KO Royal Rumble with the handcuffs was, and that was a botched ending anyway. I felt it then. I felt it a few times afterwards. But
I felt in that lull period when it was like, you know, the Demon Finn Balor and like the Claudio match.
Oh my God.
Like a lot of that stuff when it was the bad period of Roman on top, that I think. But since, you know, the summer, I haven't been bothered by it.
Yeah, it's probably a duration thing. Roman has gone through that time and he's gone back to being great again. MJF's still right at the start of this title defense journey. Missing username, unhappy face. Hey fellas, been watching this channel ever since the pandemic. First time Ultra Chat.
Always the first time Ultra Chats that Streamlabs loses.
Great show last night. Definitely the best AEW pay-per-view ever. Who do you think challenges MJF at Double or Nothing? Seems like it could be Page or Omega.
I think it's going to be Hangman Page.
I think Hangman, yeah.
Hangman makes sense. MJF even made reference to this in the post-show scrum, where he said, Yeah, you know, I think Paige just beat Moxley, so I think that would put him in line. But I'm also remembered who I beat for the Diamond Ring, because yeah, that was Hangman Adam Page. Please do let our moderators know who you are, missing username.
I really like the idea of Hangman. I think I said it either last week's Dynamite or the week before.
You did, yeah.
But they've just got conflicting characters that are the same. Hangman's self-hate sabotages him. MJF's self-hate propels him. I think that'd be a great character conflict.
It's also a year since he lost the belt. Because he lost it at Double Nothing last year.
It is. So hopefully Punk comes back at the end. Just, you know, Hangman's walking off dejected. Punk can, I don't know, spit on him. And then start the real feud with Max. Danny G, finally for now. This is going to sound a bit hyperbolic, but after last night, I really do think MJF could become the best ever. He's already up there with promos, but his in-ring work is just getting better. And importantly, he's putting in the work. Where is his ceiling?
I think it's like the great thing about Max, and I think the reason why he never comes up in those best ever conversations is he never wrestles.
Yeah, he's had 3 matches since he won the belt.
Yeah.
Starks, Takeshita,
and this and one. This. Yeah.
And I love being able to rattle off a guy's fights. It's like you can do that with professional boxers because they only have 4-5 fights a year. Like, and that's probably way too many. I'm talking more at like a mid-card level.
Yeah. But it's. I think that's why he's never in those conversations. Mm. But it's only when you mentioned it then, I had this, I was like, oh yeah, of course he could be in the conversation. But I never think of it because he never smegging wrestles.
Yeah. Well, cutting promos all the time though. And that's why I think like you just get tricked every time into thinking, you're the Miz.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
when so good.
Yeah, when people are like, oh, he's just a budget Miz or anything like that. Like it is, oh, you are just seeing the surface level of his actual talent.
If MJF is a budget Miz, he's a budget Miz at Lidl, which actually has really high quality fruit and veg. Before we get into the full play-by-play, make your face soft.
Absolutely. You can make your face even better than it already is using Geology. There's a link in the video description down below. That will be a quiz. And what that quiz will ask you is what you want from your skincare routine. And then it will provide you a box. This is legit my box. This has got my skincare routine in here. It is separated out into day and night. It comes with instructions on what I need to do in order to get the best use out of these things. And I have had I've had compliments from people who, since I started using this, being like,
same here.
Your skin's looking really, really good at the moment.
My sister saw a photo of me and said, Ollie, you look like a model. And she is a very horrible person sometimes. A lovely person. But she just knows the right things to make you cry.
Yeah.
But that time she gave me a compliment. Do you want some ASMR? This could be you.
All that white stuff could be yours. I don't think that's getting quite the effect you think. It's on your finger now. And if you use for our limited time our code WRESTLE70 or scan the QR code that's above me right now, you will get 70% off this award-winning skincare trial set. And on top of that, we're giving you an exclusive bonus offer of up to 50% on additional skin, hair, and body products of your choice when you add it to the trial. Ollie, stop that. I'm uncomfortable. Ollie, why? Get it before it's gone, everyone. 16-time award-winning company is Geology. You have 6,000 five-star reviews.
I mean, I accidentally used essentially the face wash, so that's not moisturizer, that's soap on my face, just on it now.
Yeah, yeah.
It smells nice, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it's nice. Oh,
there you go.
So skincare helps fight acne, reduce oiliness, prevent wrinkles, combat dark or puffy under eyes, a problem for me, have smoother hydrated skin, and target signs of aging also applies to me. Geology, use our link in the video description down below.
Right, so this full play-by-play, we're gonna have to just smash through it because even though this was a shorter card than normal, there's still loads. We just spent 45 minutes talking about one match.
Yeah.
The pre-show was just a really well-done pre-show, and that I didn't actually have to watch it. So I didn't resent this being actually a 15-match card by the back door. Because that's what he always does, Tony Khan. Oh, what are you talking about? It's just 12 matches, 4.5 hours on the main card. No, it's not. It's 5.5 hours because I had to watch all the Rampage feuds I've been following pay off on the pre-show.
Well, now because, you know, QT Marshall has had to disband his faction. Like, there's no one to go on the pre-show anymore.
Eddie Kingston's in Ring of Honor. Which Japanese wrestler is he going to face now? So all we got was Mark Briscoe and the Lucha Bros versus the Trustbusters. This was sort of a little match set up on Rampage. I don't know why Pac wasn't with the Lucha Bros.
It's probably visa issues.
Yeah. But this was a decent match.
Yeah,
it was just like a fun 10-minute opener.
It's exactly what an opener on a pre-show should be.
My MVP of the pre-show was RJ City doing the kind of red carpet interviews. You had him backstage doing interviews with talent, and Rene was sort of in the crowd. It was a nice, I feel like it needs some work, but it was quite a nice different style of presentation. So keep at it. But so there's something to develop there.
This felt like a show where Tony sort of realized, oh, I kind of get it now. Like, I get what a pre-show is for. Mm. And I also get what, you know, how to time out a pay-per-view card is, because it's, and I don't think it's an unfair criticism that he has had. He has sometimes booked too many matches on a card. His 15 match all out 2022 card was excessive and it was indulgent, and it led to a lot of 3-minute matches because
Starks Hobbs,
you know, Jungle Boy and Christian, there's only so much you can do. Christian was injured, but Starks Hobbs, you know, that did not deserve what it got. So this felt like a show. It was 4 hours with a 1 hour main event as well, and a very tight undercard to it as well. I thought it was just a perfectly put together show.
Yeah. RJ City, so funny. I just want to say that again.
Yeah.
He's so, so funny. He could, it's difficult because he is a comedy presence. But if he tweaks a few things, I don't know what things he needs to tweak, he could really be a great backstage interviewer.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Jeremy Borash levels of, oh, I'm just excited to see Jeremy Borash here.
I have, I've checked out a couple of his Hey EWs.
Oh, so funny.
But they are really, really funny. A former Quizzlemania contestant, RJ City.
Well, the sweet cheek music is a Hey EW gag. And that he sort of said to Tony Storm, you should rename your running hip attack as sweet cheek music. Which is very funny. Double or Nothing's going to be on May 28th, they also announced. And then Jim Ross opened up the main card saying, if you like a lot of wrestling, this show's for you. Which gave me a kick. It sounded like Grumpy JR.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say a lot of salty JR on this show. But, I mean, JR, he's not going to be against a 60-minute Iron Man match. If anything, he'd be like, why don't we do this every week?
Well, that's what I thought. I thought, JR, surely you like this bit.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell if he was being bitter or not. Pay-per-view opened with Chris Jericho versus Ricky Starks. Really well-wrestled match.
Really
well-wrestled, fun.
Yeah.
There was a couple of great moments. Like, the crowd went crazy for a Walls of Jericho.
I wrote here, feels like the year 2000. Like, you remember, Jericho used to lock it in, the crowd would go ballistic because he put this submission move on that no one ever really tapped to. It happened here.
I love the finish. I don't love Sammy Guevara running out because the whole idea was
they're
don't
banned
do
from ringside,
that. So Jericho should have found some other way to cheat. But that happened. Jericho goes to use the bat. Like, he should have just, you know, untied the top turnbuckle. Referees busied with that so you don't get the Guevara rundown. Uses the bat on Starks. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to beat him. This has been booked out of order. Goes for the Judas effect. A move that nobody counters. And Starks caught it. Whole crowd went, but I went ballistic. Great spot. And a few minutes later, Starks won with the Rochambeau.
Yeah, 2 wins over Chris Jericho now. So that should be the end.
Yep.
That should be it.
You'd think so.
Oh, I mean, I look forward to their blood and guts match at Double or Nothing.
Just him. Just Jarrett. It's all of the JS versus Ricky Starks.
It's Stadium Stampede. That's going to be the match. It'll be Ricky Starks, Action Andretti, and some others versus the JAS in Stadium Stampede.
I've got to put over Daddy Magic again. On the pre-show, RJ, he said, RJ, touch my nipples. And RJ touched Daddy Magic's nipples, and RJ just goes, they're soft. and Daddy Magic goes, that's because I'm banned from ringside tonight. It was really funny. It wasn't when Powerhouse Hobbs tried to do comedy with RJ, it didn't really work. But that was perfect.
You've got to have a very specific set of skills.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Christian versus Jungle Boy was next. I felt like this could have done with a video package. This has been a long-running feud, and it was just like as soon as Starks won, beat Jericho, straight out with Christian's entrance music.
I think it also could have done with a video package that would have explained what the final burial stipulation was. Because it's a buried alive match.
Yeah.
And that's grand and all, but this is the first time they've done one of these. Mm. So it would have been really nice. Because when it started and they had a casket, I was like, oh, it's a casket match. And then I was like, but no, they already do casket matches, but they call them coffin matches. Mm. So it can't be that. And then I was like, oh no, there's a shovel there. It's a buried alive match. I don't think I should be sat here being like, so what is this match? I think the company should probably tell me what the match type is.
Especially for a whole stipulation that was really only introduced on Wednesday.
Thematically. Yeah, I was going to say, because on Wednesday it was just a no holds barred fight. On Rampage is when they announced it's a final burial thing. So then you got 2 days before people are like, oh, right, that's what the stipulation is. I think this needed to be a bit clearer.
But Perry, had the vignette of digging his grave.
As a match itself, though, excellent thumbs up.
That said, really good match. I think they went about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But I loved it all the way through. Christian is a treat. What a delight with his turtleneck gear.
It was when he came out with the turtleneck vest, I was like, Ollie's going to love this.
I'm going to get a turtleneck. He looks so good in it.
But Sullivan Bo Brown also has a turtleneck, but he does look as good as Christian does.
Sully's got this weird floppy turtleneck. I'm going to get like a tight, tight turtleneck.
Oh,
like Christian.
Okay. You're not going to get like a Claudia Winkleman turtleneck, one she had in The Traitors that was like 3 foot wide.
Yeah, not that one. Not that one. Sully's one is like, think of Sully's hair when he gets disheveled. Yeah. That's what his turtleneck looks like. I want a tight turtleneck.
You want a Christian Cage turtleneck.
Yeah. Really good match and a nice bit of character work at the end. Jungle Boy finally used the chair to hit the concerto on Christian's head. And then he sort of hesitated closing the casket because, of course, he buried his father a couple of years ago. Really well done.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Very good performance by Jungle Boy. Like legit, it was a really good performance. You know, he's been unable to pull the trigger on the concerto, and he finally does it here. And then there's that moment behind his eyes of like the acceptance that he's done it. And what does that mean for him? Mm. And, you know, almost like a sweet, when he was putting Christian in, like, because he shut the lid and all of a sudden the thing went ka-chung and it just dropped down. It was quite a spectacular visual. But, you know, he was almost burying his own father and looking to Christian like a father-like figure that has turned his back on him. That was a genuinely really good performance from JB, who often, like, his biggest criticism is, well, you do fun flips and you got a nice submission in that, but...
And hair.
And hair, of course. But you're not a promo guy. You're not the actor type. But I thought here he did a very good performance.
Yeah, except for me, there's still something a bit missing from it. But I really enjoyed the wrestling. And I must shout out Brian Alvarez's line when it really made me laugh in their review. When Christian opened the casket first off, Brian Alvarez goes, it looks like a couple of chairs have recently died. Because there were chairs in the casket.
Because Christian had put them there earlier. The other thing actually I wanted to mention from this, wonderful bit of heelness from Christian, who was trying to run away from Jungle Boy, because Jungle Boy's like, you know, beating him up through the crowd and stuff. Christian's trying to run away, goes up the ramp, realizes there's the casket there, and is like, oh no! And has to go back, and then it hits Jungle Boy again. Very, very good.
I imagine he's going to be off TV for a bit to sell Being Buried Alive,
yeah.
But I want him back as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I want him back more than I do Jungle Boy.
Who's the real winner? It's Jungle Boy.
After that, we got the Trios Championship, the Elite versus House of Black. They got a video package.
Oh.
This was incredible.
Oh, mate. They started this match with Omega versus Buddy Matthews.
They know.
And it did not disappoint. My next note, Black versus Omega is just as exciting.
I am stunned. And I had high expectations. I'm stunned at how much character work they did from essentially a standing start. Like, there's this great moment when there was a one-winged angel attempt on Malachi. Malachi swung his boot round for the black mass, but Omega ducked it, and they both sort of end up on the floor. Kenny Omega just laying, and Malachi doing his cross-leg shtick, and the crowd are just like, this is awesome.
Yeah. I take back everything I said in the build-up to this match.
No, don't.
Nope, I
don't
am.
Don't let them do that to
you. No, I take back
it
everything I said.
It still needed a story.
No, it didn't. It was just the Elite versus House of Black, and it was awesome. It was everything that I wanted it to be, and way, way more. I was totally wrong. I'm annoyed they did any angles.
You know what?
I resent that they did angles to build up this.
This would have been this whole build would have been better if they just said there will be a surprise mystery team facing them. Oh, no, but then people might think Punk and FTR.
Yeah. And then, probably good not to do that.
But you just have, or you just say how can you do this without invoking Punk? That they just come out on the pay-per-view. Yeah. We haven't got a fight.
People are still going to go, see ya,
lights
Punk,
cut out,
see ya,
lights
Punk.
Come back up, and then House of Black are there.
I thought this was just honestly incredible. There was a moment in this when, like, you know, obviously everything breaks down. Everyone does these big moves. It's quite early on in the match. Everyone does their big moves and stuff. And everyone has hit these wild moves. Roll in the ring, try to pin Brody King, kick out at one.
Oh,
they did a great job of putting him over as the monster in this match. He was freaking great.
He looked genuinely terrifying. Yeah. His makeup, his whole persona. Poor Julia Hart. I still think... doesn't quite fit in.
No, I disagree. I like her Children of the Corn shtick that she's got going on, and she ate quite a V-trigger as well.
That's funny. So Julia Hart's on the apron. Omega, you know, avoids her, but then accidentally V-triggers her, looks over at her corpse and goes, ah.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful moment. But then ultimately, after a bunch of just awesome near falls when one member would break the pin up at the last second, Matt Jackson took the Dante's Inferno and was pinned.
They went for the Meltzer driver. So Matt shouts to do Meltzer driver, right? Jeff.
You got Jeff Jarrett on the mind.
No. Hardy. But yeah. But sorry. Jeremy Buck goes to do the Meltzer driver. And he went through the air. And Buddy Matthews killed that poor boy with a knee. When I watched the Batman of the weekend, there's that moment when, like, the skylights explode and Batman drops down. I watched this on my own because my wife was away for the weekend. I watched it on my own. And I said out loud, that's effing awesome. When Buddy Matthews hit that knee on Jeremy Buck as he went to do the Meltzer driver, on my own, I went, that was effing awesome. Yeah. Holy F, that was so cool. And then it hit Dante's Inferno on, what was his Buck name? Was he Matt Buck?
I think it was Matt Buck and Jeremy Buck.
Yeah, Matt and Jeremy Buck. Yeah, Matt Buck.
Or Max.
Max! He was Max.
Of course it couldn't be Max.
Max Buck. Dante's Inferno for the finish. So, I think we've got two things to talk about here, and I think both of them tie in together. Numero uno. Oh, man. That's the Elite. What's going on here? That's been in quite a disappointing run with them with the Trios titles. Belts that were essentially made for them.
Yeah.
But two, the storyline reason behind this, Don Callis not only being upset by this, he literally like threw down his headset. I would say he was annoyed that his guys lost here. And bearing in mind that a lot of the stuff he's doing on TV at the moment is watching Takeshita, and he's doing backstage segments with Takeshita, possibly taking him under his wing. I feel like we're heading for a split of Callis and the Elite, and that loss here is to facilitate that story.
I guess the Elite, that will pave the way for the Elite reuniting with Hangman as well, without Callis involved. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I can't say I'm enthralled, though, whatever it is. And whatever this future direction is, it's going to take a lot to get me on board. Like, it's going to take a heck of an angle or a really good, steady build to make me excited, because I haven't had an actual Kenny Omega story for a year and a half.
Yeah, well, since Hangman Page.
When he lost the belt to Hangman Page.
Yeah.
He was out injured for a while. Then they won the Trios titles, and then there was...
He saved a dog,
which he was cruelly suspended. And then we, you know, great best of seven series, but there's no story there. Great House of Black match, no story there. The great Top Flight AR Fox match, but there's no story there.
No.
So Omega and the Young Bucks are meant to be these amazing long-term storytellers. And they are, I know, I've seen it for years and years. But it's like they cannot tell, they maybe they have no interest in stories that's outside their bubble.
I feel like they're just in a holding pattern waiting for Paige to be done with Marks so they can get to the Paige Elite stuff.
Hmm.
I that's kind of what I've
got. Can't they have storylines with other people, though?
No. That's an impossibility.
It really is the Cody verse, but it's being the Elite.
Yeah, the Elite verse. And it's I think it's honestly a massive shame. Mm. But also this match was amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And I wonder if a lot of my, because I am excited, and I think a lot of that though is hangover excitement, just because I like the Elite. And like I love watching the Elite wrestle matches. So even when they don't have great storylines, the second that they start wrestling, I said it earlier, like Kenny Omega walked down to the ring, and I was like, oh, that's the best wrestler on the planet. And then I'm watching him wrestle, I was like, yeah, 100% he's the best wrestler on the planet. Now, and the Young Bucks, they are the best tag team on the planet. And so even when they don't have compelling storylines, I always find myself still really excited because I just get to watch them do some more matches.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, he's not had a storyline since he lost the belt to Hangman Page. And that's not very good.
Yeah.
That's not the best use of the Elite.
He's like the Rio of the men's division.
The who?
Rio.
Rio?
Yeah, she won the... Riho! AEW's
sorry, Riho. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, not Riho. Sorry, I didn't say it a bit
you're
weird.
You're saying
yeah.
Rio, and I was Rio. Like, the blue bird?
Her name is Riho.
And she wrestles in Japan.
But not North America enough. So I'm excited for House of Black. I guess there's the...
I don't know, they're going to face.
Yeah.
Top Flight and AR Fox, probably.
I'm concerned that they'll just face the Elite, which I, you know, will be, again, great match. And maybe they'll use this as the springboard for the actual story. I don't know. I don't know how into that. I feel like the singles and tag division needs more work right now. That's more urgent and important. So move the Bucks over into the FTR returning tag division. Omega can start facing Danielson, Cole, MJF, yeah. People like that, because he has been... You know, he's WWE will tell you he is nearly 40 years old.
Well, that's it, right? And like, it's also at the same time when they're not signing new deals that do kind of like it's maybe it is just, you know, us putting two and two together and getting eight. But I'm watching the Elite just sort of going through the motions and having amazing matches and not having that, not being the focal point of all Elite wrestling in the same time. When they're also not going through negotiations yet for new deals, even though like reportedly Tony Khan is trying to get them to negotiate new deals. He's trying to get them to sign them now. And he, you know, Omega's should be up by now, but he had time added on for the injury. So Omega should be done, really. But he's not, but they're not, and they're not signing these new deals. And like, it's when you see those two things running side by side, you start to think, are we going to see Omega and the Bucks go to WWE and just go there for 6 months? Take that six-month deal they were offered in 2018.
January 2024, if you had to put a bet on it. We're looking back. Did Omega and the Bucks go to WWE?
Like, if you'd have had this, you know, at Revolution 2021, if you'd have said, like, hey, by WrestleMania next year, Cody will be in WWE. And you'd have gone, like, no way, absolutely not. Since that has happened, I honestly am now, like, on a 50-50 thing of, like, I think it could happen. Really do think it could happen.
Am I sitting on the fence?
Well, I know. I'm not sitting on the fence. CM Punk's coming back.
Okay. Oh. And you think...
And I wonder if... You know, we've kind of all said, oh, Tony clearly made his choice because he's gone with the Elite and he's not brought Punk back. But I wonder if Tony's also looking at the ratings being like, well, maybe actually... Maybe he was in the right. Maybe Punk did do nothing wrong.
I've redone the investigation and
found out that you saved that dog for illicit means.
Kenny punched a dog. well, I guess we'll see. But It was a very peculiar title change, a welcome one,
yeah,
weirdly, because I'm just happy that House of Black have championship gold after all these years. I
feel like they get to do something, yeah, now, which is, again, like they were talking about how they made their debut a year ago, and they were like, what a dominant faction they've been. And I'm like, I don't think they really have, though.
Is it a year ago or is it longer?
No, it was a year ago. They were Revolution, I think, on the pre-shows when they had their first match against Lucha Bros and Eric Rowan.
After that, we got Saraya versus Ruby Soho versus Jamie Hayter.
Told you this would follow the trios. Yeah.
Pretty, you know, fine, decent match, good three-way. Jamie Hayter's excellent. Ruby Soho's great. Saraya was actually quite fun in this. There was a moment when she was being punched by both women and she went, stop! And then they both went for her anyway.
Yeah, it's really good. Man, Hayter is so over.
It's so good to see.
Yeah.
Britt Baker's so supportive for her on the outside. She is so turning heel on her imminently.
Oh no, I don't want Baker to send him. No.
Not for a while.
I feel bad for Rebel though. Did you see the report about Rebel?
Yeah, but I think it's the right move creatively.
Oh, I think so as well. I just feel bad for her because I thought Rebel was so good in that role. Mm. The report, by the way, is that because they're now baby faces, Rebel just doesn't fit with them. So she's just been removed from the act, probably until they turn heel again, I guess. Also, Jamie Hayter, banging entrance theme.
Oh, yeah, isn't it?
Isn't it so good, though?
I'm going to get a little furry jacket to do what she does.
To build your turtleneck.
That'll be so warm. Hayter eventually gets a technical pin on Ruby Soho after Saraya was sort of taken out. I thought, it's a bit of a lame finish. Felt deflating. Crowd didn't pop, really. But then we got a post-match angle.
Yeah, it was the pinning of Soho that was key to this. Mm. Because then the baddies, not those baddies, the heels got in and started beating up on Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. Ruby Soho makes the save. She throws out Saraya, throws out Toni Storm. And then she's almost like celebrating with Hayter and said, this is not your house. And then she gave Jamie Hayter the no future, took out Britt Baker as well. And stood tall with Saraya and Toni Storm. They spray painted little L's on Baker and Hayter. And we now have an ooper duper heel act here with Soho, Saraya, and Storm. Triple S.
You need Rebel.
Yeah. Oh, that's what that is exactly what this team needs. They need Rebel to also join them.
You could have done that and had her as like a goofy baby face, definitely, and then have the heels actually write her out the company with an injury angle.
Yeah, that'd have been really good.
Give it some real heat.
Yeah.
Look, this isn't groundbreaking stuff.
No.
And this was actually a bit rushed overall, and the match was just mostly there compared to the rest of the card. But this is the best story they've had since Rosa Baker.
And you're absolutely right, Ollie. They should have done this on TV just a few weeks ago rather than saving for the pay-per-view. No, you're absolutely correct. Yeah, yeah. You were right that they botched the ending of that show. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hangman Page then
I'm going to have another one of those later on, just so you're aware.
Hangman Page then took on John Moxley in what was my... I said it in my review. It's my match of the night, apart from the match that was more match of the night. This was extraordinary.
These two beat the piss out of each other.
Did you... Because I can get... Oh, that's a bit too much. You know, that's a bit too visceral. But even though this was so gory and hardcore, I never got that. I always felt like I was in the fun of the grossness.
I have not spoken to him, but I believe Pete was uncomfortable with this match because it was like a level of... I don't think he likes barbed wire.
And, oh, he went like this one.
Yep. I mean, because there was a moment in this when John Moxley raked the back of Hangman Page with barbed wire, and you literally watch the barbed wire pierce Hangman's skin and sort of tear its way up.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a moment in this when he stabbed Hangman in the forehead with a fork, and I saw blood spurt out. It was awesome.
I'm sure it's a blood packet. I'm sure it's a... It was a fake back. It was a working back that
he
tore up.
This match ruled.
I loved it so much.
Loved it so much.
It was... It had that perfect balance for me, at least, of going, oh! And, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot of barbed wire. It never got old, somehow.
Nope.
I've never seen bricks. In wrestling,
do you remember
like this?
The cinder blocks? Seth Rollins used to use cinder blocks.
Yeah, but those are cinder blocks.
Yeah.
These are building bricks. It's felt different.
I would say the bricks were not as effective And my main reason this is because he did that moment where he stomped the hand, and then Hangman was just using his hand fine afterwards.
Yeah, I liked it. I get what you mean, though. He could have sold it a bit more, I guess. Hangman at one point wrapped himself in barbed wire to do a moonsault to the outside.
There he did.
Don't know how much that's going to hurt the other person.
Yeah, you know,
but still cool.
Still cool. That's a lot of what this was. You know, they went through barbed wire boards and stuff. There was more barbed wire. I really, really enjoyed this. There's proper flashbacks to when I was first getting into wrestling, and you would hear of these sorts of matches. They weren't on WWE. No. Or they weren't on WCW. But, you know, on the schoolyard and stuff, you would have that friend who has said, oh, my cousin's friend has told me of these things that happen over in Japan. And there's C4 exposed. And you're like, whoa, that sounds mad. And then you sit and you watch it on like grainy VHS tapes. And he's like, I can sort of make out wrestlers then. And something explodes. You're like, oh, wow, wow. And you see barbed wire and stuff. Cactus Jack losing an ear and all this sort of stuff. This is on national. This is a national like company here. And it was superb.
I was going to add, like, Mick Foley's book with the inserts.
Yes!
And you'd see the pictures of the C4 match. You're like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What is this?
Well, my friend's cousin's friend was right.
I feel like I've just hit puberty for violence. It's an incredibly violent match, but one that I feel was justified in the story.
Miz and Maurice used a brick.
In the handbag.
Do you remember? You wanted to lead with that.
Oh, that was so funny.
You came on and it was like, I can't believe we're not leading with the brick thing.
She tried to murder someone. Luke.
It was Edge.
I think I've got a thing for bricks. I didn't realise that. I did really enjoy that brick angle.
You want more bricks in wrestling?
Who would have thought it?
Found your thing.
They're so rare. I don't want them to overdo it. I want it to be the early Hell in a Cell stipulation.
Yeah.
Every couple of years, show me a brick. I thought that all this blood and violence and gore was justified by the story, because this has been an excellent tale spun from what was a botched concussion, quite an awful one at that. Every match has been better than the last. I think they should leave it for a bit now.
I think they probably will do. I feel like this finish is an end to this feud.
This was the final barbed wire reel.
And ended with a chain.
Yeah. Well, I loved the finish. Mox had this great bit where Hangman fired up. What was it off of? It was off going through a barbed wire board outside. He gets in. Mox reverses a buckshot into a huge Death Rider. Not a paradigm shift, a Death Rider. Then a stomp. And he sort of did a Seth Rollins nod. And then Hangman just beats the count. They're both holding the chain. Hangman hits him with the brick. Buckshot lariat while Mox is still in the chain. That sends Mox over the top rope. And Hangman holds onto the chain. And it chokes the life from Moxley. And Moxley taps out. He doesn't pass out. Because, like, you get a lot of that finish. And I didn't realize how potentially overdone it was getting until I saw people actually tap out. Tough guys tap out in hardcore stipulations.
Yeah, I thought it was such a cool finish. And I love actually the fact that Mox only had it around him as well. He put it on as a precautionary measure, knowing that Hangman was probably going to stand back up, because he was yelling at Hangman to stay down. All the while, getting ready.
Yeah.
Getting ready for the next...
I'm a weapon.
The next demented thing I'm going to do to you. I'm going to write deranged on my forehead. Like, that really cool design. And I just thought it was so, so cool. And yeah, and you mentioned this to me in the office, and I did not pick up on this. The Hangman hanged someone.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until I was on the way in to work. I was like, oh, he's the Hangman.
Yeah.
So it's actually... the perfect ending.
Yeah, loved it.
Unfortunately, Kurt Angle was watching those, so he won't sign with anyone. It's an old ECW.
Very good.
Tail joke. Yeah. Jay Wardlow had to follow that. They did the best they could.
Yeah, Hoss type action, but with flips and dives.
But not so many that it would be like actually break out of this. Only got 10 minutes, very short. Compared to the rest of the card.
I think there were two problems for me here. The finish fell a bit flat. I don't think anyone expected the three-arm thing. And
Particularly for Joe.
And I, as I said, I get why they did it, because it set up the spot they did later on in the main event. So I get it from that perspective. But also, this was in California. Joe is from California. So the crowd were a bit sweeter for Joe than they were for Wardlow. So it meant Wardlow winning did not get the big reaction that it maybe it would have done had they done it in, I don't know, any other state in the country.
Oh, I don't know, though. I think Wardlow, unfortunately, is significantly called off.
That's also fair, yeah. Should also say if they do it in any state in America and all the states in Canada as well.
Yes.
Very, very important to mention that Canada has states.
I found this quite predictable based on the really good promo that Wardlow had cut a couple of weeks ago about his father dying from cancer. But Joe's been so good with the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't have much faith in AEW booking Wardlow as a champion.
Yeah.
Because they had that for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing he did was, well, I'm not going to face Moxley because that's not the real champion. And then the real champion does eventually get crowned and hasn't done anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Wardlow's world. He's facing Powerhouse Hobbs on Dynamite.
And the final match we'll
talk
about.
Here we go. At last. Here we go. The actual main event of this show.
The Acclaimed versus the Guns versus Team TNA versus Orange Cassidy and Danhausen.
This match started. This match began with Orange Cassidy versus Jeff Jarrett. And I wrote my notes here, and people thought this was a bad idea. And it only got better from there.
It was a heck of a lot of fun.
Oh, it was so fun. Mm. So, so fun. Every person in this was amazing. Team TNA are the best thing in AEW. They are the linchpin that is holding this crumbling company together. Because they're the perfect unit. QT Marshall's there crying on Twitter because, oh, a wrestling journalist didn't like my faction, so I just broke it up. Take some notes, mate. You're a student of the game. Take some notes as to why Team TNA are the best thing in this company. Because Team TNA have got the perfect lineup of people. Jeff Jarrett, this crafty old veteran who does his little strut, and he's awesome. Jay Lethal, a great wrestler. You've got Sonjay Dutt, who is a perfect, perfect comedy foil. They did Sesame Timbers to Sonjay Dutt. It's one of the loudest things that happened on the show from this crowd because he's a great comedy foil. And then you had Satnam Singh in there.
He's big, that
He's
guy.
One in a billion. And then you can put him in there with Orange Cassidy and Danhausen. Place goes mad. Do you know why? Because every single element of Team TNA fires on all the cylinders, all raising all of the ships. The best music in TNA as well. I don't know why they don't have all of the belts.
That Satnam Singh spot was really good.
Right, because Satnam Singh is an amazing part of this act. Hey, once again, you all mocked him when he debuted this and the other. Well, the chickens have come home to roost now, aren't they? And they're clucking all throughout the crowd.
They've misfired a bit on Wardlow. Maybe Satnam's the actual next Batista.
As long as he's always in there with Danhausen and Orange Cassidy.
Of course, Luke is somewhat exaggerating, I think.
No, I've written in my notes here. They do Sesame Timbers to Sonjay, and it's awesome, and the crowd love it because this is the best team. The heels do. This is amazing. So the heels all got in together. So Team TNA and the Ass Boys, and they did a four-way scissor spot that they strutted into. They did the Jeff Jarrett strut. And I've written here 5 stars.
Yeah.
Because this was a 5-star match. In fact, all the stars. This should get a higher rating than Danielson MJF.
When Jarrett pushed Aubrey and Aubrey pushed Jarrett back, I was like, that might be the biggest pop of an interaction on the whole show.
Because they are, I'm saying from the start, this is your team.
When I don't know what Lethal used, but he hit
the Golden Globe.
It was the Golden Globe. I haven't written down who they hit either. But off that, I thought Team TNA were going to win because that was a great miracle.
They're so good. Jeff Jarrett. Some moment, Jarrett, because they hit him with the Golden Globe and then hit the stroke. And Jeff Jarrett on his knees goes, yeah! It's brilliant for 2 reasons. Number one, he's a crafty heel. So, of course, he celebrates before he's won. Number two, really protects his finisher because he allowed the other person time to kick out of his move. Because three, he's the crafty veteran that knows this game.
Can I have 4?
Yeah.
He likes gold. He likes gold. So, fun happenings in the ring.
I can't wait for this to get 2.5 stars in The Observer.
The Ass Boys hasn't worked.
Yeah. So they came out, the smallest reaction of all of the teams. And I was like, this experiment's not worked, has it? But they did get some good heat in the match at least when they were in there with Team TNA, who were, you know, getting all the heat and stuff. And they got some heat for beating up Daddy Ass. But then they won, and all of the air was just sucked out of the arena, and the crowd didn't, they just fell silent for it. And they're a weird team in terms of, like, crowd reactions, because their wrestling gets no reaction. But the spots that they do, where they, you know, maybe take out Daddy Ass, get reactions. And then they cut promos and get reactions.
They kind of get reactions.
But, like, promos. Yeah, but, like, when they win, they don't get reactions. They don't get heat. Mm. I find them fascinating.
It's too soon. I think it is, like, a real fundamental booking error. And looking at this match, Orange Cassidy and Danhausen provided a lot of, like, fun spots. But story-wise, they shouldn't be in here.
Yeah.
This is a Team TNA versus Acclaimed versus Ass Boys match. And putting Danhausen and Orange Cassidy in, even though they provided a lot of the stuff I enjoyed in this match, has made the Acclaimed just move down a notch.
Yeah.
And that's the real tragedy here. I don't care about the Ass Boys. Really, I think they'll be stars eventually. I think they're very good. Or at least that, you know, I would give them a chance. I think putting the titles on them is a mistake. The real tragedy here is that the Acclaimed every week just feel not as special as they did a couple of weeks ago.
I thought they got a really good reaction on this show. I think that it's
it varies from city to one of the least important things.
What I would say is it varies from city to city, but that never used to be the case. Mm. It used to be whatever city they were in, they were hugely over. But since losing the belts, it has felt a bit more spotty with regards to how over they feel. But yeah, I do agree with you. I think that's been the real detriment to this Ass Boys experiment.
Danhausen got to run wild near the end. I thought he had a good match, Danhausen.
He really did.
You don't get to see him wrestle often. Ass Boys beat him with, I watched it back. It wasn't a big rig.
No, but it's called 310 to Yuma.
Yeah, I've seen some people call it a big rig. Yep. Sort of all atmosphere gets sucked out. But as soon as Renee appeared in the ring and she's like, let's do a post-match promo. Who are your next challengers?
Yeah, like we do after all of the matches.
We've got so much time to do this after every match.
Yeah. So who came down here, Ollie?
That would be, check my notes. It was the...
Let me just quickly double check.
It was the best friends.
Yeah, it was FTR. Yeah. FTR came back here. Dax Harwood, obviously very upset and unhappy backstage, being in AEW. Probably going to go back to WWE. Let me just quickly check some of the comments I got on last week's Dynamite review. Luke's naive. Yeah. Luke's very wrong. Yeah. FTR definitely aren't coming back. Oh, no, here they are. And very much are. It's almost as if they set up this story in December that the Ass Boys beat them. It was FTR's last AEW match. That loss sent them on a spiral to make them lose the AAA titles and the IWGP ones. Haven't been seen since, so they can come back and win the tag titles off of the Ass Boys. It's almost as if it's been a story that they've been working on for a little while, and Dax has been working everyone with his podcast.
Mm. I don't think that's a good story, though.
I never said it was a good story. I'm not here to defend that it's a good story. I'm just here to defend that I was right.
I think it's an actively brand-damaging story.
It's not a brand-damaging story. The amount of people online that were just like, every babyface has got this I hate the company. I was like, name me one other babyface that's got an I hate this company other than Eddie Kingston.
Cash, probably.
On a podcast. I'm talking about on actual TV.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy FTR are back. I assume it'll be a very quick route for them getting the titles now.
Yeah, whether they win them on TV or they win them at Double or Nothing, I guess.
But that's a long time.
They look like that. Yeah, because it's
that's May, late May.
It's late May, but they're definitely winning the belts.
Yeah, they
watch me say that. Then and the Ass Boys beat them again.
They show up in WWE. They're just back to put over the Ass Boys one more time. And they'll be back for the Raw after Mania. Dax somehow busted himself open. In an exchange of three fists, I think, with the Ass Boys.
Yeah. Well, impressive. You know, it was too soon for the Ass Boys to be put in this position. They also hit the big rig. Excalibur called it the Shadow Machine. WWE return confirmed.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't talk about that Edge thing when him and Beth did it on the, that was definitely a sign that FTR aren't sticking around with AEW and they're going, want to talk about that a bit more?
Let's watch it play out. I
I'm going really hard on this, just on the off chance that I'm right. And it, I mean, it also works if I'm hugely wrong and they just end up back in WWE. People can play this back.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'm happy FTR are back. Let's hope the tag division rebuilds itself.
Well, you know, like, I look up and down this tag roster, and you've got your losers like the Ass Boys and FTR and the Lucha Bros. Oh, sure, yeah, you can do some cool flips, can you? You're incredibly charismatic, are you, and whatnot. Really, we should just be building this whole thing around Team TNA. I don't know why we're not.
Bring in Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah, they can play really third fiddle to Team TNA again.
Young Bucks aren't tag champs anymore.
They can do some nice flips around Team TNA.
They're Generation Me. Rebrand them.
Oh, I see what you're doing
They
now.
Should have a TNA week.
Yes.
AEW Dynamite special.
That's how you bring in Nick Aldis. Bring him Doug Williams, British Invasion.
Magnus.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Well, overall, if this was a great, great, great pay-per-view, if for my tastes, I would have cut about three matches, making it a 3-hour-10 show. So I would have had open on the trios. Then I would have had the women's match. Then I would have had the... what was that? Then the Texas Death match. Then the tag title four-way. Then the main event. Mm-hmm. I think that is an 100% card. But overall, I gave it 98%.
Yeah, because you hate AEW. the four-hour show is, I thought it was a great length.
So much better.
But it's particularly because we get 4 or 5 shows a year. Like, if this was every month, then I'd understand the whole, like, oh, it's a bit long. But this is so much nicer than watching, like, the 5.5 hours that All Out was. This was a much more simplistic and a much more controlled card. And I actually like that Starks and Jericho was on there. And Powerhouse Hobbs and Joe, I think I can take or leave. But everything else I thought was really, really great. That was an awesome, awesome show.
5 out of 5 for you?
Absolutely.
Well, let's say thank you to our wonderful Pledge Hammers on Patreon before we get into our remaining Omega chats. The $100 Man, CD Horver.
The Kessel Run, DX Solo.
Double L. Liam Leonard.
Mad Mac, the Meat Father.
Have an argy bargy, margy pargy.
Ryan, Disco Stewart.
Thomas, the prize hooker, Solazano.
Where there's a Will Campbell.
He ran Aaron Hamrahan.
The Machine Gun, Alex Anderson.
The Roller Coaster, Robert Acosta.
And finally, for this Hall of Fame class here on the 6th of March 2023, Chris, the Cypriot Sensation Patru.
Thank you very much, all of you. We'll be recording Wrestle Talk Extra for you wonderful folks soon.
Currently leading the poll as well. I had a quick check of this morning. Is WrestleMania X8.
Okay.
Which means if that wins, and it's very much likely that it is going to win because it's currently leading by 40%.
Yep.
While WrestleMania 24 has got 28%. We will have done 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21 in the archives.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's complete. Right. Yeah. So please do go over to patreon.com and you can get that exclusively. WrestleTalk.com/support. That's where you can send your remaining Omega chats. This is last call. Eddie Pat 14. Well, I was going to mention MJF versus Brian, but I'm too distracted by how soft Luke and Ollie's skin looks. I can't decide which one looks softer. Dare I recommend a soft off? I'm taking all bets. Geology presents Luke versus Ollie. Pitch black soft off. Not a pitch soft?
Yeah.
Soft pitch?
Soft pitch. Yeah. And also, I think we need more mention of geology in the match and a couple of TMs, little registers in there.
I like this. We're always thinking of new ways to do branded integrations.
Why don't we do this more? You know, Stephanie McMahon keeps saying on investors' calls, we're the best at brand integrations because our fans love it when we have Pizza Hut battle royals.
We could have people come in from the office to touch our face blindfolded.
Oh, it's
so good. They don't know whose face it is.
Yeah.
Matt Mormon, hey guys, first time Ultra Chat, but been listening since the T-shirt closet days. That is a long time. I think this was MJF's equivalent to Triple H versus Cactus Jack at Rumble 2000. Already established star, but gets mega evolved and legitimized.
That is a great little comparison.
Yeah, really good. And of course, we just did the follow-up pay-per-view to that.
We did, WrestleTalk Extra.
Don't tell me. No Way Out.
No Way Out 2000. That's it, the Hell in a Cell match.
Dr. Hook, Nolan Evans. The doctor is in. Hi, lads.
Also, let's not forget Mark Henry versus Viscera.
I'm going to try and forget that. I had to Omega chat just for Luke saying giggity. But in all seriousness, I thought the show was great, and I'm not opposed for this being the best Iron Man match ever. Iffy about Wardlow winning, though.
Yeah,
jam that jam.
Me too.
Yeah. I hate being in this position.
I know.
I like Wardlow.
But I really, it's like Samoa Joe. He was in my top 50 wrestler list that I did on PFK.
Kevin. And yeah, that main event was special. I know Max is a special attraction, but this kind of performance makes me want to see him more in the ring.
I'll hot tag.
And that is why he is special.
These are from last night's live reactions. Hannah Allen said, really good, amazing, lots of love, boys. Amazing pay-per-view. I love JR wrestling for me. He makes it, I love JR wrestling for me. He makes it hard with his pronoun boy gag. It's a joke. I don't think he fully understands, yet he repeats it often. Go home heat from me. No care from a company that I thought gets it. Pete hate. Love your LGBTQA+.
What was the... I didn't hear this one.
If anyone in the chat can catch us up on that, because I clearly missed that line. Hannah Allen, amazing pay-per-view. Correction, loved it. Just hate the disrespect to anyone that doesn't identify as a man. It's effing stupidity. Gosh, it makes me mad. Every single person deserves our love and care and respect. I just wish better for everyone, not just men. I don't hate men, by the way. I date
one. Sounds like you do, Hannah.
I date one. Just makes me insane that wrestling can't get it right. If anything, women give variety to story. How can you not book that? We work just as hard, which indicates familiar treatment. Fix it, Tony Khan. Lots of love, wrestle talk.
Well, I don't quite know what bit you're referencing, but I think, I'm hoping at least, that the women's storyline stuff right now is building to some kind of blood and guts thing, which I think would be a big step for the division.
It turns out there was a bit of salty JR.
Was there?
Well, we must have missed it. Kevin said, I got the rules for the final burial completely wrong. I thought that to bury Christian, you had to put a blue dot over his face. That's good.
Well done, Kevin.
Kevin, that's a good that's radio
good,
bell
good,
there.
Good, Kevin.
Great show overall. I thought every match delivered, hoping weekly television will follow in quality. Unfortunately, we've lost a username here. Please do let our moderators know, because you've had a very generous chat here and said, haven't watched wrestling since losing my dad last year. Thought AEW negatively changed with their roster poor booking. Last night seemed like OG AEW. But we still need to sort that tag division. Once this, watch this since before Luke joined Keep Up the Great Work.
A long time.
Thank you. I mean, you talk about the tag division there, but Jarrett and Lethal are there.
Well, I think they're probably saying they want Motor City Machine Guns, Generation Me, Sharkboy.
Sharkboy and Carrie Man, British Invasion, you're absolutely right. Rock and Rave. No, unfortunately, can't do Rock and
Beer
Rave.
Beer Money.
Lance Hoyt's not...
Where's Bobby Roode? Yeah. Get him in.
And we've got Lance Hoyt on the roster, so we can do the Rock and Rave Infection. Just need to find a replacement for poor old Jimmy.
Team Canada.
Now we're talking! Eric Young's dead in Impact! Yeah. So we can bring him in. Do you know who you should be with? Big A1.
Oh, yeah. What's he doing these days?
The actual star of Team Canada.
With all his mates in the front row. They get signed with him at every Dynamite.
Andrew Adamy said, I was at the pay-per-view and sat next to Denise.
Oh.
The event was...
Sorry.
She was probably talking about like chicken tenders or something.
Listening to Taylor Swift.
The event was amazing. My brother, who rarely watches wrestling, loved the trios match. My favorite was the death match. We need this. This is gruesome chant in wrestling. And we can start that at the next death match. Jonathan Emmett has been a member for 18 months in a row. Said, great show last night. Line of the night on commentary. Mox is bleeding. Taz, a light breeze makes Mox bleed.
Very funny.
James Branch has been a member for 12 months in a row. Said, good morning. I had more fun with this match than I thought I would. One thing that got me, though, was Aubrey stopping the guitar shot in a match with no DQ. She was doing that because she doesn't want to see the baby faces win that way. It's fine when Jarrett does it.
Aubrey's a heel.
Seaplin, maybe Jericho was right this whole time. Seaplin 2144 says, bless MJF. He said Denise's voice sounded grainy on the media scrum. Between him and Cody, she just can't catch a break.
What happened with Cody?
Cody said, oh, you're loud. Because she had headphones on so she can hear how loud
she
was.
That's so funny.
And he was like, oh, you're loud. But he does it. It's affectionate. Mayor of Painesville, Dan. Hello, Luke. Hello, Ollie. Hope you're doing well. It's German Dan here. What a weekend. The most anticipated, longest, most star-studded wrestling show is taking place this weekend with WXW 16 Karat Gold. Also, AEW Revolution happened.
I'm looking forward to WXW being over. So I don't get these chats from Marcel Arts and Mayor of Painesville Dan every show.
Just wait, why can't WWE just shut them down already? they bought them years ago. Caleb, formerly known as Mr. Higgle, has been a member for 17 months in a row. Said, been here since Ramble Club days. Just wish we could have Wrestle Talk made Big Apple Takedown. I'd now cast Sully as the big bad with Wonder Ollie as Tori.
Oh, that's too sexy. Too sexy.
Too sexy. And lastly, for now, John Wick 1GM says, first of all, love you guys. Two, Tony needs to have Luke on commentary when Team TNA Wrestling. I could be like the Don Callis when the Elite are wrestling. And unfortunately, the Guns are suffering from the Jinder Mahal effect.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of similar.
Are they trying to expand out into India with the Ass Boys?
On the Luke on commentary, that's what we need. We need two Sanjay Dutts. You've got Sanjay Dutt and then you've got you. And you're like his Ms. Dow?
I'm the comedy to Sanjay Dutt's comedy.
I think we've just had another one because I can see it on the screen.
It says, if they're doing TNA week, you can't forget Crimson. They probably have to build off that 470-day undefeated streak he had. What a company.
Let's bring TNA back. I know it is. I know it still exists.
I think that's what Jarrett's trying to do.
This Impact stuff's too logical. It makes too much sense.
Joe Hendry's in. They're using a Dreamcast as a weapon. No, we need to bring back TNA.
You seen that?
Yeah.
That's really funny. Oh, I think there's another one.
There is indeed. Hector Rodriguez has gifted one membership sub.
Thank you very much. That's very kind. Well, we're going to finish up here now. We've got an hour 35 minutes. Please go support the channel and your face's softness by checking out Geology. We've got the QR code on the WrestleMania sign position over there, which you can scan to get the offer or a link in the video description below. What is that offer again?
That offer is Wrestle70. You get 70% off.
Oh,
plus 50% off any item that you also put in there. It's a big exclusive offer.
That's big. So thank you very much. Remember, subscribe, go over and check out our review and news videos on the main WrestleTalk channel. Survival Series went up on Friday, so go watch that as well on Parts of Unknown.
Next episode of Worst Match Ever will be this Wednesday, because we're doing the review today, so it'll be out on Wednesday, and it is us watching and reacting to Jenna versus Charmel.
Speaking of TNA.
Oh, it's the proper glory days.
Jam that jam.
Jam that jam, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.